Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all here this morning. Let's we'll wait for the peanut gallery to take their seats. I'm just kidding. Let's open with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for being able to once again gather into your house as believers and take some time to sing praises to your name and to learn from your word. Lord, we just pray that as we examine and discuss a new topic this morning, that you would open our hearts to what you have to say to us, Lord. I just pray that you would guide us and direct us in our discussion, Lord, and just let it be for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning's topic is about tithing slash giving, however you want to talk about it, word it. I wanted to cover this topic because of my personal situation. As you all know, Caroline, my wife, is not saved, and so she doesn't understand why I give money to the church. Not only that, but she also doesn't understand why I take so much time to prepare these lessons, why I go to music practice every Wednesday, why I show up an hour earlier than everybody else for church. So she just doesn't understand because she's not spiritually minded. And so this sparked a necessity for me to be able to give a proper defense as to why I give so much of myself and our finances to the church. So this class was really born out of a selfish need to defend my actions within my own home, but hopefully through it, you will all be blessed as well and have some insight and some things to say when others question your actions. And hopefully it'll also encourage you to examine your own giving and take that matter personally to the Lord. So what is tithing? And this is something that needs some clarification because there's some misconception within the church and consequently outside the church as well as to what tithing actually is. People seem to think of tithing and offering as the same thing, as synonymous, and they're not. The Old Testament tithe was a giving of a tenth. It was basically a tax. In Old Testament times, the government was set up as a theocracy. In other words, the church was the government. So you gave your 10% or your tithe as a tax, not only to support the church, but to support the government, in essence, and its leaders. And after people paid their tithe, then above and beyond that, they would give freely as an offering to the Lord. So tithing and offering are two different things. In today's modern age, with us living in a country with a democratic government that is not linked with the church, we pay a tax to the government in accordance with what was commanded by Jesus. In Matthew 22, there's the story of the Pharisees that came to Jesus and said, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? You know, of course, they were trying to trick him into looking like a bad guy no matter what his answer was. And of course, Jesus, being who he is, knew exactly what to say. But he basically affirmed that Caesar was where he was in his power and position within that particular government because God had placed him there. And he says it's lawful to pay those taxes. And Paul makes a similar affirmation in Romans 13, 1 through 7, where he affirms that government is ordained by God as an institution that is meant to serve and protect the people. Therefore, we should certainly be willing to obey God and pay our taxes to support that government. But we're also going to see that we are to give to the church apart from the taxes that we're commanded to pay. So I just wanted to clarify that so that you can kind of get the term of tithing out of your head. The church uses that today as a convenient term. And there are some churches, in fact, that do require tithing, and it's almost like a tax within the church. But what we're really concerned with this morning is giving, the free and willful giving to the church and to God. Now, giving can involve many things. Giving can mean money. Giving can mean your time, your talents, etc. So giving doesn't just refer to financial giving, but of any resource that God has blessed you with. Now, as we go through some of this, you might see an emphasis on the financial giving, and that's just natural. But just keep in mind that when we're talking about giving, we're also talking about those other resources. So why do we give? Well, before we look at some of the reasons why we should give, I need to point out right off the bat that this issue of giving is not about material things. It's not about the time or the possessions or the material things. It's not about those things. It's giving is a heart issue. And that's what we're going to examine. This whole matter of giving is about where your heart is. We don't give so that the church can build a new building or so that the music team can upgrade its equipment or so that we can send missionaries out into the world. Now, when we give, those things are accomplished, and that certainly is a blessing, but those are the things that God takes care of. We give, and God accomplishes those things. The point I'm trying to make here is that what we give and how we give is not about the things it produces on the outside, but what it produces within our hearts. If we give, God is going to use those things to accomplish His will. But when we give with the right attitude, God accomplishes amazing things within our hearts and lives as well. So what are the... It didn't get wet, I promise. We're going to need to clean up on aisle one, though. Put the lid back on that. And so, there. We're safe. Sorry. Alrighty. So what are the reasons for giving? These are just some reasons for giving, and it certainly isn't all-encompassing. But these are just some of the reasons that I came up with as I thought about this and studied it and prayed about it. And so I just want to go through these, and I'm gonna go through these pretty rapidly so that we've got some time for discussion. We had some good discussion last week, and I really enjoy that about this class. So the first reason for giving is thanking. Giving is thanking. Giving is a way of showing our thankfulness to God for what we have. It doesn't matter how much or how little that you have. It doesn't matter how big or how small your house is or even if you have a house. Whatever it is that you possess, you should be thankful for it because it comes from God. Even if you're one of those, not even glass half empty, but the glass is completely empty and shattered on the floor kind of person, you know, and you say, well, I don't have anything at all. Even if you're in that position, you can still be thankful for your salvation. And that's obviously the most important thing to be thankful for. So there's no excuse not to be thankful to God. We all have something to be thankful for. And giving is a way of showing that thanks to God. The second reason, and this one goes hand in hand with the first one, and that is giving is praising. Giving is praising. We give as a way to praise God. Giving is a form of worship, just like singing is. It's an outward act of worship that glorifies God. So they go hand in hand with thanking and praising. The third one is trusting. And this is a biggie. This is probably the one that most people have the most difficult with, is trusting. Giving is when I say giving, it more specifically sacrificial giving, is a way of showing your trust in God. What do I mean by sacrificial giving? Well, I'm not talking about taking food out of your family's mouth so that you can give to the church. I don't believe God wants your family to suffer like that. We all obviously have certain responsibilities, and I don't believe God wants us to abandon those responsibilities. So what am I talking about? So what I'm talking about is the sacrificing of personal wants in order to give God what He deserves. It's having the attitude that says, hey, I really want to upgrade my TV to that newer, bigger model, but God, I would rather give it to You so that You can use it to advance Your kingdom. That's sacrificial giving, and that's having the faith that not only will God continue to provide for your needs, but that He will use that money for His glory and not let it be wasted. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have abundance for every good work. And then Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So when we give, we show God that we trust in what he says, and we can trust in his promises, because he does promise to always meet our needs. Fourthly, giving is blessing. We give in order that our giving would bless others as God has blessed us. Acts 20:35 says, "I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Not only does our giving bless others in need, but it brings great blessing upon ourselves as well. Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." Now that verse there is talking about how in the olden times people wore tunics. It was like a big long dress, and the way that they would measure out their barley or wheat or whatever is they would pull up the tunic and make a little sash, and they would fill it up. And so it's saying that the same amount of measurement that you use, that's going to be given back to you. So this good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, it's saying the more abundantly you give, the more abundantly you will receive back as a blessing from the Lord. And it doesn't necessarily mean financially. You know, just because you give financially doesn't mean the Lord is going to return financially back to you. It may come in other forms of blessing. So giving is blessing. Giving is investing. And this isn't a personal plug for my occupation. But giving is investing. And this, again, goes hand in hand with the previous reason of blessing. When we give, we're investing in the kingdom. Luke 16, verses 1 through 13. And I'm just going to turn there real quick. You can turn there if you'd like as well. This is a... Luke 16, and this is just an interesting parable from our Lord Jesus that I'm sure many of you are familiar with, and it's verses 1 through 13, and I'm not going to read it. I'll just kind of summarize it, but basically, there was a master with a steward over his money, and the steward had done a poor job, and the master was going to fire him, and the steward realizes that, and so he goes to some of his master's debtors and says, you know, whatever your debt is, reduce that amount and just wipe it from your books. And he does this with several people, and he does it so that, you know, when he does get fired, he's got these other individuals who kind of owe him a debt of gratitude. He's trying to set himself up for a job in the future. And what's interesting here is, let me see here. Starting in verse 10, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, or money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," or money. So you cannot serve God and money. So one of the things that we can take away from this is the importance of using what you have now to secure blessings in the future. So investing. So we're investing in the kingdom. So in this parable, Jesus is saying we cannot serve God and money at the same time. So which is better, to store up treasures here on earth or in heaven? Because that's what we do when we give. We're investing in God's kingdom and we're storing up treasures in heaven. There's a song that's a really neat song, and I was going to bring it this morning, and I just didn't get a chance to. But if you get a chance, go and look it up. I don't know if he's the original artist, but it's I know Ray Bolt sings it, and it's called "Thank You," And it's just a wonderful song, if any of you have ever heard it. And the verses talking about how the various things that we do here on earth and the ways in which we give financially of our time, of our efforts, they will be returned to us in heaven. And it's just really neat the way the song comes together in that he's in heaven and these various people are coming up to him and saying, thank you for giving, because I'm here in heaven right now because of what you did in giving. And it's such an amazing, powerful song.
You should sing it, Ron. You should. It's a beautiful song. Yeah, because he says, I am a life that was changed.
Yes, it is. It is a wonderful song. So I can't think of a better treasure in heaven than to know and see that you were used by God to advance his kingdom. I mean, to meet all those individuals that you affected, that you were used by God to advance his kingdom. It's just a neat thing. And finally, this morning, giving is joyful. And I realize that that's not an ing word, as to go along with all the rest of them. But giving is joyful. It basically sums everything else up. All the other reasons for giving, knowing that it invests in the kingdom, knowing that it brings great blessing upon others, being able to trust in God and his promises, praising God and thanking him through our giving. These things should produce great joy within our hearts whenever we give to the Lord. 2 Corinthians in chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, it says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And that's why, you know, here at River Valley, we don't send around an offering basket each week. We don't want people to give because they feel obligated or feel guilty if they don't. It's something that should be done purposefully and willfully and joyously. Whatever it is we give, whether it's money or whether it's our time or our talents used within ministry, no matter how much or how little, we should give freely and willingly, knowing the fruits it will produce. And that is something that we can take great joy in. Like I said, short and sweet. Anybody want to say anything, add anything, throw anything? No? Okay. Mm-hmm. And I talked to us quite a bit about that. Mm-hmm. Nothing? We had such good discussion last week. Wow, okay.
You did.
Thank you. That's it, thank you. And like I said, I don't know if Ray Bolts is the original artist, but I know he sings it, and I think so.
Did you come across to any priorities for giving?
Priorities for giving as in?
To give for and to and what for. And I remember a lesson years ago, I've got it written down in the Bible, but there were priorities that included family, kind of the top of the list, make sure you take care of your family. I don't remember what the other two were, but I purchased an axe.
I didn't focus on that. Again, I wanted to focus on the heart issue of giving and why we should be giving and that it shouldn't be done out of obligation. But I didn't. If anybody has anything on that, please. Yes.
I don't have anything particularly on Bob's question, but I just know the Lord has dealt with money such a huge way in my life. My whole soul was sold for making money, and I think those of you that heard phrases in my testimony might remember, but to be able to be freed from the bondage of doing my focus and my life dedicated to my success rather than having the Lord be the one who is already successful in a huge way and just being his steward. I don't know. I could go on and on, but I just got a hold of 15. It's huge. One of the things that you said about this song Faithful, I definitely am looking it up and it sounds fantastic. But I think the ultimate focus of our time in heaven will be those that we've had the privilege of influencing as we're the conduit for God's provision going to them. It's Him that's doing it. It's Him that gets the glory. And as we fellowship around His throne and be able to rejoice with people that are there because of His mercy and the fact that He chose to use us, it's still all going to be focused on Him and His glory. And I don't want to take anybody away from the song. Mm-hmm. I just know that, you know, that as we enter into heaven and those as we've been changed and He's conforming us more and more into Jesus' image, that day that I die, and I just look forward to, I trust that there will be that well done, a good and faithful servant. Mm-hmm. Enter into the rest of your Lord. And I just can't imagine a greater source of thanksgiving than to have the Lord welcome in such a way.
Amen. Yes.
Tithing and tenth are synonymous.
Mm-hmm. Well, the tithing was giving of a tenth in the Old Testament. Yes. Yes, but that's Old Testament. Again, that was when government and church, that was basically a tax that was going to run the church and the government. And it was, yes, it was
10%. I sort of figured it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's an example.
Mm-hmm.
As far as a tithe, yeah. I mean, as far as offerings, though, we roll with that.
And I wish I could remember the site for where I came up with this, but there are people who have researched in Jewish history and found that there was upwards of 32% of what a person had was expected of them,
right,
to be in the legal, in the Old Testament system.
Yeah, I've heard that as well, and yeah.
I just think, you know, the bondage that we have been released from through grace and having been saved by grace, reconciled to God through His doing.
Find it, the clarification between tithing and giving is like really helpful, because I know, like, when I read the Old Testament, some of that stuff, I'm like, and it just kind of, it was like, I don't know, in my mind it was like, it was just like, is it that they have to give to, or is it just willfully? And so, like, I don't know, I just, that kind of clarification really does help, so.
Good.
It doesn't matter how much we give, the Lord bless that lady that gave, what, a half a penny or something, because she gave all she had.
Because she had the right heart attitude.
I didn't know about Gates being an atheist until just the other day. Here is this man with all this money, and I know he gives to charities and all that, so I'm sure he does. I just want to go. When I heard that, I thought, well, somebody needs to tell him that his lady on this earth is not going to be that long compared to eternity before you're going to go. I don't know. I just thought.
Easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else? I guess get extra time for fellowship this morning.
Just in terms of too, looking at money and what we do with it, and the fact that if we hold it, if it becomes our preoccupation, if it is the focus of our lives, our families suffer. I mean, to the point of abandonment. I mean, it's just dads, moms, truly. End up neglecting their children, having huge problems.
Mm-hmm.
Money is a
Like you said, it really is a wonderful thing to be able to release that worry and burden, so that you can focus on the things that are really important.
I know people too that do drugs as a means by which they can handle the pressure and maintain the equilibrium and be able to have whatever it takes. They justify this by going off and taking under themselves, putting self in bondage further, so that they can excel or be what they couldn't be in their fragile condition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think also, like, the idea of giving does, like, slip so far away from a bunch of people, because I know a lot of people in school and stuff, and it's like, there's this idea of, like, selfishness that they follow, and it's like, why should I give to them, and what if I won't get anything back? And it's like, that's not the whole point of giving. I mean, if you really, like, because, like, giving, I don't know, there's, like, it makes its own, like, sense of joy, but a lot of people don't really just look forward to that. It's like, oh, okay, I'll be joyful. No, they just kind of look for just the immediate stuff, just like, oh, what'll I get back in return and all that. And it's just that it's like, just why people become so selfish and just self-centered.
All right, well, Lord willing, next week we are going to discuss the topic of attending church and why do we attend church and why is it important. And so I was just going to say that's one of the oxymorons of it, is the people who don't show up are the ones that probably need to hear it. So, but again, it's one of those selfish motives that, again, all of these things kind of personally relate to me in having to justify why I show up each week and why I attend Bible studies and men's breakfasts and, you know, family camp and all these various things. And so we're going to look at that next week, Lord willing. But let's go ahead and close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for this time this morning, for this topic that we've been able to look at and discuss and hopefully draw closer to you with, Lord. And we just pray that you would instill in our hearts a willingness to give to you, Lord, a willingness to give of not only of our finances, but of our time and our efforts and our talents to you and your ministry, Lord, and to your kingdom. We just pray that that we would be blessed by that and that we would be able to bless others through that, Lord. And we just pray that everything that we would give would be used for your glory, Lord, and we just know that you will always be there to take care of us and fulfill our needs, Lord. We just place that issue in your hands, Lord. Lord, as we dismiss, I just pray that you would be with Pastor Craig as he delivers your message to the congregation. Be with those in attendance. Open their hearts and minds to the message that you prepared in Pastor Craig's heart, Lord. Be with those who are not able to be with us. Keep them safe. And Lord, just we just pray that everything that we would do this morning and every day of our lives would be glorifying to you. And it's in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.